Romans chapter number 10, and we'll read some scripture and then explain a little bit about what we're going to be doing tonight, a little bit unusual type of a service, but I think one that'll be helpful and will prepare everyone that is going to be involved this coming Saturday in our Each One, Reach One outreach. And so I'll explain some details about that. But let's begin with the reading of the Bible and Romans chapter number 10. And if you look in verse number 9, Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9, let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. The Bible says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, dear God, as we take some time for preparation. And Lord, then that you would go before us and prepare hearts over the course of the next few days. We're asking, Lord, that you would be very intimately involved in this weekend, dear God, to be able to orchestrate things that's outside of our ability to do. Lord, that you would allow us to have many divine appointments as we send out a vast number of people, dear God, to represent you in different ways. And so go with us. Lord, give us Holy Spirit filling and empowerment. Give us Holy Spirit boldness. Lord, also, dear God, that we would be wise and Lord, how we represent you. And I pray, dear God, as we go through a little bit of training for this tonight, that you'd ready us and prepare us. And we ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And thank you, church. You may be seated. Let me talk to you just real quick and give you an overview of what's going to be happening. There's going to be four different types of outreach that's going on this coming Saturday. And we are going to do this, all four different types of outreach, between 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock. That's the target. By the way, thank you for praying. There was quite a bit of concern on Sunday concerning the forecast for this coming weekend. And thank you, church, for praying. And we want to, first of all, praise the Lord for rearranging things. And it looks like, if the weather holds right now, we're going to have a beautiful Saturday, not only to be able to participate in this Each One, Reach One outreach, but also a beautiful Sunday. We're going to have kind of a meal on the grounds and an opportunity to meet a lot of the guests and spend time with them. And so looking forward to that. Four things between 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock are going to be happening. First of all, we're going to have six different Bible giveaway tents. And I asked Brother Nichols to go ahead and set kind of an example up out there. So if you'll imagine that the driveway going towards his house is the road, we've got it set up as if it's facing that road. And you could go out there and take a look, those of you that are going to be involved in it. When you get to your particular spot, you might have to adjust it a little bit, but we wanted to give you a visual, and that way you can take a look at it and see kind of what we have in mind. And so in Farmersburg, we're going to have a tent set up at the Dollar General in Jasonville. It'll be at a medical center that's right across from the new Casey's, where the old Casey's used to be. We'll have one set up there. And then in Linton, it'll be at First Financial Bank in front of Walmart. And then Swiss City, over that direction, we're going to have one down there at the Lighthouse. And then we'll have one just off the square in Sullivan at David Stewart's house. And then Brian Morse is going to have one in Worthington, on the northeast side of Worthington, where the chiropractor's business is, right on the main drag. So all of the locations, y'all did a great job. I kind of handed all of these to these different men and said, hey, find a place, take care of it, run with it. And they all came back with a great, great job. We've got permission to be in these places from 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock. And so we'll have the Bible giveaway tents. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go through a little bit of a soul winning refresher course for about 10 minutes. And then I'm going to have Brother Nichols come up, and he's going to spend a little bit of time training on the Bible giveaway tents, and then I'll come back up and talk to those of you that are going to be going to nursing homes. So we've got the Bible giveaway tents. We've got the soul winning blitz. I think we've got about 10 people that are going to be taking a bus over to me, with me to Bowling Green. And we're going to try to get all of those doors and maybe go over to Corey, depending on how things go. And then we've got some of our men that are going to be in vehicles in each of the communities that we have Bible giveaways. And they're kind of my elite force. They're the SEAL team. They're the ones that are extremely bold and capable and aren't afraid to pull up and stop and say, hey, I don't know if you've heard, but we have a Bible giveaway going. And by the way, let me give you an invitation to our church and go soul winning that way. Instead of just spending all that time knocking on doors, they're going to go find where people are standing out. And I've got Tony Anderson going with Roger Young. I don't know how that happened. And so if you hear sirens in Jasonville or Worthington, you'll know that they did something wrong. And so we've got that. And then we've got the nursing home. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that in just a little bit. But I've been in contact with every activities director and all of the nursing homes. And they are excited that we're coming. They are anticipating this coming. I mean, everything went well except for one. And we're on live stream, so I'm not going to tell you the details about that. Initially, it didn't go well. Let me just say this, after me on the phone with the administrator today, now the activities director has decided that it's going to go very well. And so anyway, amen. Praise the Lord. And so anyway, yes, not my first rodeo. Anyway, so we've got those things going. Now, in Romans here, how shall they hear without a preacher? We need a bunch of Christians with beautiful feet. Beautiful feet this weekend. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And folks, if you look at the book of Acts and you just read the book of Acts, I mean, it's undeniable that this was a church that was busy going out into the community, spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said they did it every day. And they did it in the synagogue, and they did it house to house, and they were always on the alert for an opportunity to tell somebody the gospel story. And so we ought to also be prepared to do that. Again, I probably would have been better served maybe taking an entire service and just going through soul winning training, but I'm going to give you kind of a quick refresher course, a quick primer, because anybody and everybody, I believe, ought to be trained and be willing and be able to take their New Testament out of their pocket and show somebody how they can go to heaven. People are still getting saved through soul winning. And so I want you to be ready and prepared to do that. And so we're going to go through just real quickly the Romans Road with you, just a few reminders. Here's an outline for a soul winning presentation, very basic. I'm going to have copies of this made. Matter of fact, Mrs. Ross, where's my wife at? Is she here? After this is over, if you'll make copies and we can set them back on the back. I never thought to do that, but that would be good. So you can hear what I'm going to say, grab the papers, go back, do a refresher course, practice. All these basketball players will practice for hours and hours and hours to play a game that don't mean anything. And we don't put any time in preparation for something that could mean everything for somebody. So there's four things that we must know in order to go to heaven. Number one, we are sinners. So state the point. The first thing we must know is that we are sinners. If you have your Romans Road marked in your Bible, you can read Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23. I always say when you do that, both of those verses are talking about we, or all of us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For there is none righteous, no, not one. When you're talking to somebody else, don't talk down to them as if they're a sinner and you're not. And so you see here that we, all of us, have sinned. I know I've sinned. Take some time establishing that in the Bible. And then if you'll go over to Romans 5:12, we talk about the second point, is that there is a penalty on our sin. So state the point. First thing we must know is that we're sinners. Now, number two, the second thing you must know is that there's a penalty on our sin. And Romans 5:12 talks about death and the penalty of our sins being death. Romans 6:23, A, and I always say A there. For the wages of sin is death. That's as much as I'll read. Now, don't worry. I'm going to come back and finish the verse. But on this point, there's a penalty for our sin, and the penalty is death. I think it's very important to go to Revelation 21:8. I like that. I was trained to do that because I believe, folks, that if we do not establish that they are a sinner, that we are all sinners, and that if we got all of us got what we deserved, we would go to hell. And then you're not talking to somebody who's ready to be saved if you can't get them there. And so a lot of times after I read Revelation 21:8, we talk about the lake of fire, talk very specifically about the lake of fire. And so we see that because we have sinned, if we receive what we deserve, we would die and be sent to this lake of fire. Mr. Jones, do you understand that you're a sinner? Do you understand that if you die in your sins, then you will go to a lake of fire? And again, if you can't get them here, then they're not ready to get saved. I'd go ahead and finish the plan of salvation, but you have to understand if they're not willing to admit that they're a sinner and that they there are consequences of that sin, then they're probably not going to be paying attention very much to how to avoid that. Number three, Jesus loved us so much that he paid the price of sin for us. Again, state the point. The third thing we must know is that Jesus paid the price of sin for us. Romans 6:23. Now we go back there. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then go over to Romans chapter 5, verse 8, because in that while we were yet sinners, God committed his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We have to explain the substitutionary atonement. Now, I wouldn't use that term. You're going to throw them off. But they have to understand that somebody took their place. And that somebody just wasn't anybody. That somebody was Jesus Christ, the Son, the sinless Son of God. And then if you'll take them after that to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 10, and then verse number 13, all you must do to go to heaven is put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And then I always like at that point, I think there's something very, very powerful about your personal testimony. Before I even invite them and see if whether or not they would like to be saved, I usually just close my Bible with my finger in that same place, and I'll say, you know what? There was a time when I did not know for sure I was on my way to heaven. And then I go through my personal testimony, how we were invited to church, what I heard at church, what I realized that I was a sinner, what I realized concerning the lake of fire and the eternity of that, the conviction that I fell under, the fear that I lived under as I wondered what would happen to me if I died, and then tell them also, it was wonderful when the preacher told me about Jesus Christ and what he did for me. And that, you know what, that way you can go through the plan of salvation again because you're talking through it again, only you're relating it to yourself. And then they understand that, you know what, this isn't just something I need to do. This guy's not just telling me what I need to do. This is something he needed to do. And then after I tell them about how I received Christ as my Savior, then I look at them and say, Mr. Jones, you know, I don't know where your standing is with God, but are you 100% sure that you know that you're on your way to heaven? Can you look back and find a place when you truly accepted Christ? And if not, I would love to pray with you right now. And why not right now? Why not today? And then appeal to them. Now, they may get saved. They may not get saved, all right? They may listen to all of it. They may not listen to any of it. But we want to do everything we can to have an opportunity to give them the gospel. But give them your personal testimony. And as you do, review the points. And then kind of practice that. Because I think that if you'll give your testimony in light of the biblical principles that lead all of us to Christ and all of us to salvation, it'll give you an opportunity then to show them that this is something you also needed to do. And so again, that's quick, that's fast, but I want you to brush up on it. If it's been a while, preacher, since I've taken my New Testament, led some by the Lord, then I would encourage you to go home and just open it up and just pretend there's somebody sitting on the couch with you and just walk through it. And then if you stumble and stutter some or you lose your page And if you forget where you're at, then go through it again. And then go through it again. And then go through it again till, you know what, hey, come Saturday, if I have the opportunity, I'm going to be ready to share the gospel. Now, you may not have an opportunity as you're passing out the Bibles. I'll let him talk about that in just a minute. To open the scriptures, may not have the time or the opportunity, either in the nursing home or in the Bible tent situation. The wonderful way about the way Brother Nichols had this designed is that all of the scriptures there for the plan of salvation is on the back of the New Testament. So once you gift them the New Testament, you begin to witness to them, you can literally reach out and say, hey, let me show you something on the back of that, and flip it back over. And then you can go through the plan of salvation right there using what's printed on the back of the Bible. By the way, forgot to show you. These are the Bibles. I thought they came out fantastic, you know, and I like the patriotic cover. And you know what? All of the nursing homes like the patriotic cover, except for one woke. I told you I'm not going there, right? Guess what? As of a few hours ago, he likes the patriotic cover now. So anyway, praise the Lord. I just like to bring somebody back that's living in America and benefiting from America, but seems to have a problem with America. Anyway, I'm glad we have an opportunity to fix things as we're going along. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, I'm going to have Brother Nichols come up at this time. He's going to talk to you about the Bible giveaway tents.
If I can get a couple guys to come help me real quick, I got some of these to hand out. And if you're one of the leaders, if you come up, I got some papers I need you to grab as well. If you are, these need to only go to the adults or teenagers, those who are working and you signed up and you're on the list back there.
If you're going to work a gospel tent, why don't you stand up right now if you're going to sign up to work at a gospel tent? That'll make it easier for them to find you.
One of each, just the leaders. You have the blue ones? Yeah, those go to the anybody who's working at one of the Bible handouts. Give those. Yeah, whoever's, if you're working out a Bible handout, raise your hand and they'll come by and give you one of these papers here at one of the tents there in one of the cities. While they're doing that, you can look up here. I'll give you a quick history of how this ministry got started in 2020. We were kind of stifled from being able to witness like we usually would, going door to door, and just talking to people was a big no-no, and people didn't want you talking to them, and it was a weird time of our lives, of human history. And but a man by the name of Brother Netterville, God gave him the idea of doing this ministry, just showing up in a parking lot and putting up a pop-up tent, he ordered a banner, just said free Bibles on it, and just started handing out Bibles. And that very first day, he went out for an hour and a half. And they said three people got saved that day. And he hadn't been able to go soul-winning, I think he said, in a couple months. And it just was just getting under his skin. He couldn't handle it anymore. And God gave him an idea to start doing it. And so every week he started doing it. He just started seeing people saved all of the time. And he started seeing something that he had not usually seen when he goes soul-winning. Usually he goes to people's house, whether they want him to or not. But instead, people were coming to him for a free Bible, and obviously, if they're wanting a free Bible, they're interested in Jesus, they're interested in spiritual things, and the Lord really used it, and he's been doing it for many, many years. And a young man by the name of Andrew Reardon took over the ministry a few years ago, and because Brother Netterville is up in age in his 70s and having some health problems and not able to continue the ministry, they've gotten this ministry in churches all over America. And like Pastor has said before, everywhere I've gone and he's gone, I mean, churches are talking about it and how successful it is, and I'm just excited that we get to be a part of it, giving away Bibles for free and getting the opportunity to be able to witness to somebody. Now, every person that receives a Bible, we want to be able to witness to them. I don't want you thinking that this is just hand them out. We want to be able to have an interaction with the person that's coming. And so Brother Andrew Reardon, who does this every single week, sometimes two and three times a week, when he's traveling, everywhere he goes, he just brings banners with him, brings his vehicle, and just pops them up. He's an evangelist, and just everywhere he goes, he's got Bibles with him, the banners, signs, pops them up, and just giving Bibles away. And so he's very experienced in it. So I'll give you some of the things that he's given me. And he said, anytime someone drives up and they show interest, For one, we want to wave at people and be friendly to them. But he said, don't be pushy and tell people, come on, come get a free Bible. Come get a free Bible. He said, it's okay to say hi to people. Would you like a free Bible? He said, don't be pushy with people. People don't appreciate it. But he said, we want the people who are actually interested in getting a Bible. And he said, we don't want to give it to somebody who's like, oh, whatever, sure. And they take it and throw it away and don't want it. He said, so be friendly to people and smile. And the people that pull up that are interested, he said, don't just walk up and give them a Bible and then walk away. He said, the best way to do it is, for one, he said, depending on your parking lot situation, it may cause a log jam and traffic in your area, and we don't want that. He said, try to get them, find a spot that you've already located near your tent, get them to go and park there. Say, why don't you go over there, park right in that spot over there, and I'll meet you over there with a Bible. So he said, don't ever walk up with a Bible. Did you come up here for a Bible? Don't walk up, because then you're expected to hand it to them. So he said, leave the Bibles on a table or something in your vehicle. He said, a lot of times they'll pop up the back of their vehicle and they'll just have them sitting in the back there. So he said, don't ever walk up with one, because then it gives them, oh yeah, I'll go park over here. So get them to go park. And then when they go park, bring the Bible over to them. And he said this phrase, and I'll send this out to the leaders. He said, this phrase right here in particular has really worked really, really well with everybody that's used it. He says, usually we start out with, and we say, obviously you care about spiritual things since you are stopping for a Bible. And since you care about spiritual things, let me ask you a spiritual question. If you were to die today, are you 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? And he said, usually when we ask that question, obviously you care about spiritual things since you're stopping for a Bible. They'll go, oh, yeah, yeah. They'll agree with that. And so he says, really opened that door for us to then ask them that spiritual question if they know for sure that they're going to heaven or not when they die. And he said, that's the best way that we have found to break the ice, because if they're stopping for a Bible, they want a Bible for a reason, and so they're thinking spiritually. And so you try to use that phrase, see if it works good for you when you're out there. The more you do this, we're not planning on only doing this week. This is kind of like our launch, and we don't know how often we're going to do it yet, but this is going to be a great opportunity for us to be able to get to witness to people. And like Pastor said, you'll be able to use the back of this if you want. And leaders, you'll need to make sure once you get all your Bibles, make sure that there is a gospel track in every single Bible, but then also make sure once we give these Bibles out that the last thing we do, we've got a big day this coming Sunday, and we want to give them an opportunity to be able to come to church. And so after they're done, you've tried witnessing to them, whether they got saved or not, and it's kind of ready, you're ready to say goodbye to them, bring one of those friends and family Sunday tracts and just let them know what's going on Sunday and invite them to that, and then they'll be on their way. And so we've got signs that can be used however you want. They're yard signs, so you can stick them into the grass. There, you'll see them out there. They say free Bibles on them. Same thing as the banner. If you've got kids and they want to stand out by the road somewhere on the grass and kind of let people know what's going on in a safe way, right? Far away from the road, but safely out there holding the sign. You can use it however you want. Every group's probably going to be differently for who they have out there. But I would encourage you to we want you to bring chairs to be comfortable, especially those who are older and can't stand for very long. But Brother Andrew Reardon said that when people just see you sitting down, they're less likely to stop by. But if they see that you're raring to talk to somebody, you're easily going to bring it up to them. He said, we find that when we are just kind of at least one person at all times is kind of standing up, he said, we find way more success when someone's ready to come to them, rather than sitting still and then someone takes a while to get up and get towards them. So if you're a leader, if you can just at least make sure you at least have one person standing up at all times, you're welcome to bring chairs there to be comfortable in, because you're going to be there for a few hours, so you're not expected to stand for 2, 3, or 4 hours. When you go, I want to go through a couple things here. let's see here. Oh, yeah. So on the part that says approach, I think every group will have some who are very experienced soul owners and some who are not, maybe are not as comfortable yet witnessing to somebody. And in that case, I would suggest you to, every time you go to a car to give them a Bible, always have two of you together, one person learning from the other one. And I think whether you're both experienced or not, this is something we've never done before. And it's a new thing for our church, for our ministry. And so I think we can learn from each other, learn how each other's coercing and think, wow, that worked really good. I'm going to try that. I'm going to use that. So I think it can be used both ways. For the person who's not comfortable yet giving the gospel out, they can come along as a silent partner and just learn and be there to see what the experienced soul winner is doing and just take notes and mental notes. But then even if you're an experienced soul winner, listen to each other, help each other. That didn't work. Let's try this. Let's do this. Let's use this phrase, or let's be a little more friendly in how we talk. And so just help each other. I think it'll help be a huge help in that way. And the last thing that we need to do is we have contact cards that all the leaders need to make sure that you have these for every Bible that we give away. We want to get their information, their name, address, phone number, kind of all the information that's on here. And Brother Andrew Raritan, who's been doing this, says, he's like, trust me, he's like 90-95% of people have no problem giving you their information. He's like, they give it everywhere they go. He said, you might run into a few every now and then, totally fine. We don't have to have their information for them to get a Bible. He said, the great thing about getting their information is that we can follow up with them. And whether they get saved or not, if they get saved, we can follow up with them and try to get them to start coming to church. If they don't get saved, we can follow up with them and try to get them saved maybe the second visit. And another way that we can use this is we have a software here at our church that we've been using the last few years where anytime we're having anything going on here at the church, if we've got their email or their phone number, we can put their information in the software and they can get a flyer sent to them anytime anything's going on at the church, inviting them to come to our church. And they can always opt out of those things if they want. But this is important. So make sure whoever is the silent partner has a clipboard and has this on there. And when it's time to get the information, they can just hand it to the next person with a pen there and they're ready to write it all down. So leaders, make sure you get tracts to put in the Bible. Make sure you get tracts for the friends and family. Make sure you get pens and plenty of these cards to give out. Brother Andrew Raritan said, typically when they give out Bibles, he said it ranges between anywhere from 25 to 65 Bibles they'll give out per station. And he said, sometimes you may exceed that. He's like, I don't know, every location is going to be different. Every city is different. And so he said, just kind of prepare maybe for that amount per group that's going out. And I had one other thing that I wanted to say. Oh, he said, big part is that people love is when you remember their name. He said, when you can get their name right off the bat, and who likes when someone remembers their name, all right? You're impressed with somebody when they finish a conversation that you've been talking to them for 5 minutes, and they finish, well, have a good one, AJ. And you're like, wow, they remembered my name after that long of a conversation. So he said, it takes work to remember people's names, especially if you are talking, going through the whole plan of salvation with them. He said, make a mental note of that. When you walk up to the car, I am not going to forget their name. And keep it in your head the whole time and try to use it when you can. And I like to, as I'm talking to people, when I'm witnessing to them, once I got their name in the beginning, I'll say, Levi, so what do you, and I'll start asking questions. I'll keep using their name and I'll say, Nathan, you know, I'll keep using their name. So it helps me for one, but I also realize they realize that their name is important to me and that I'm not just calling them, you know, hey, so you, I'm actually addressing them by their name. And just, it shows respect, but people love when you remember their name. And so Brother Andrew Raritan told me, he said, that works really well. And people just kind of soften up to you and are open up to anything that you're saying. Anybody have any questions regarding it? Nobody? Okay, I'm just kidding. Brother Nathan. Yes, sir. Oh, that's fine. Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That works. Yep. Also on the inside of these is neat. On the very first page, it says where to find help when, and then it's got different sections in here, afraid or backsliding or sorrowful or tempted or thankful, and it's got scripture verses for them. With whatever they're kind of struggling with or they want verses on, they can go right to those scripture verses and open it up. But yeah. Can start it out right there. It's got it on the back, but might as well give them a track as well that has it in there in case they forgot that it was on the back. So that works. Any other questions? Is anybody excited?
Yeah.
All right. I'm excited, and I'm looking forward to it. And I'm just looking forward to hearing stories and hearing about how it went and hear how God used you. I think this is going to be one of the easiest things you've ever done when it comes to soul winning. Way easier. You're not going to get people slamming the door on you. We may get somebody that drives by and doesn't like Bibles, maybe doesn't like patriotism, and they might cuss at you. I don't know. Be prepared for anything. You ever know what's going to happen? It's not the big city, so that's nice. And there's more conservative people here and people that appreciate the Bible and appreciate Christians. But I hope you just bring a smile and a servant's heart. And I think if we pray it up and be prepared, like pastors just trained us tonight, I hope that we're prepared when Saturday comes and we don't have the excuse of, oh, I was too busy, I didn't have time to brush up on it. And like we can fall into, everybody's busy, right? Everybody's busy. Everybody's got a job and everybody's got families and spouses and kids. And we all can have that excuse. But man, I pray that we listen to what pastor told us, and we have to get that paper that's going to be in the back and just study up and be prepared for it. And I think we'll have some incredible things happen on Saturday if we are ready and prepared ourselves and prayed up for it. So let's pray for each other.
Amen. Great. Thank you very much. If every tent, the leaders, if you'll keep track of the number of Bibles that you pass out, I'd be interested in that. And then after we get done with this on Saturday, sometime next week or so, Brother Nichols is going to meet with all of those that were involved in that and just get some feedback, because like he said, we're kind of on a learning curve here. First time we've ever done this, and it'll be interesting for, I think, to meet afterwards and kind of listen and hear and maybe some things we could do better or some good reports on how it happened. So those of you going on the soul winning bus with me, and Brother Josh is driving that bus for me, we want to leave out of here at 10 o'clock, okay? So it will be 10 to 2, but I don't want to be here at 15 after. So try to get here at 9:45 so we can be ready. We got to drive clear over to Bowling Green. So if you can be ready to go on the bus at 10 o'clock, we want to take off. And so don't forget that. When you bring the white car back over, we have all of the Bibles in the back of there. And so maybe I can get a couple young men to help me unload them and put them in the foyer area. That would be great. I just thought of that also. Let me talk about those of you that are signed up to go to the nursing home. I think one of my favorite places in all the world to visit is in a nursing home. I love going to nursing homes. And I'm glad it was a part of my early training in the ministry. I first went up to Bible college. I joined something called Fisherman's Club. But after one semester in Fisherman's Club, I continued in Fisherman's Club, which was a Saturday ministry. But I began to go into Chicago to a nursing home. First 2 years that I was there, I preached every Sunday in a nursing home, same nursing home. Really got to know the people, really got to build relationships, really got a chance to see some people saved. And I can still remember as a young, naive preacher, I guess, not realizing this. I mean, you know it, but when it happens, all of a sudden, then you really know it. One of the ladies we were able to see come to Christ and looked so forward to our visit. She was bedfast there towards the end, so wasn't able to come to the services, but I always stopped by her room and always had fellowship with her. And I stopped in to see her one day, and the bed stripped and her personal belongings are gone. And I'm a bit naive, and so I go out to the nurse's station and say, so did they move Mrs. So-and-so? And well, God moved her. And folks, one of the things you have to be reminded of in the nursing home ministry is that these people, for many of them, now some are in there for rehab or different reasons, but for many of them, this is their last stop before eternity. Now think about the impact of that, their last stop before eternity. And if they've so far in their life never had anybody give them a clear plan of salvation, boy, it'd be a shame to miss that. And even if they are saved, they need the encouragement and fellowship of this. And so I'm going to text all of you that are going to the different nursing homes the activities director's name that you need to ask for when you get there, and also the time that I have you scheduled to go there. Different ones wanted us to come in different times, all within that 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock window, but you'll be able to make plans. I'll try to get that text out to you first thing in the morning so that you have that information. And so we always try to work through the staff there. You always want to build good relationships with the staff, and that helps you going forward. And so ask for the nursing home activities director when you get there. They're expecting you, and they're expecting you at a certain time. And then I mentioned a second ago, don't forget that for many of these people, it's the last stop, their last stop. And so keep that in mind. Now, when you go visit in a nursing home, I want you to remember something. Their room is their home. Okay, did y'all hear me? Their room is their home. Matter of fact, I think the assisted living one over there at Waters, they literally have printed outside the door of every room is, this is the home of, And then they have, and I like that they put that there. I think it's a good reminder. Now, folks, if somebody walked up to your front door and just walked into your living room, okay, I think you'd have an issue with it. And the one thing that you want to do is be very respectful of the fact that that is their home. And so you always knock, and then you always, once they, if they holler for you to open the door, just open it and double check, and tell them who you are, why you're there, and is it okay if I come in? And that way we're showing great respect for them. When you get in, this is one of the things that you're really going to have to remember, okay? Most of them are hard hearing. And many of them are very hard hearing. And so you have to get over to them and you have to get down beside them. And you sometimes have to talk, you know, don't mumble, okay? Talk, enunciate what you're saying and talk very clearly and talk very loudly to them. You know what I'm talking about. Don't scream at them, but you can kind of sense after interacting with somebody if they're having trouble hearing you. So don't be afraid to get down on one knee, down to where you can look at them, down to where they can hear you, and be sure and speak up, okay? And then once you introduce yourself and go in there, show them the Bible, the gift Bible that we have for them. So everybody that's going to nursing homes will need to take some of our Bibles with them, enough to cover that entire nursing home. I'm going to be able to give you that number also when I text you, and that way you'll make sure that you have some. I'm going to send extra. You may have an opportunity to give it to staff members, nurses there, anybody, family members that may be visiting. Let's not miss an opportunity. So tell them why you're here and then present the Bible to them. Some of you, many of you, I'm very excited about this, are bringing some of our children. And I think younger children, it's an ideal situation for them. So if you can get the kids ready to sing a couple choruses, boy, they love that. They love that. You don't have to put a whole concert on. And if you do, you're not going to have time to get to every room. But if you'll let them sing, the children sing, folks, listen to me. There's a lot of things God uses to tenderize hearts. And I can't tell you how many times children singing in a nursing home just causes people to kind of get that tear in their eye and tenderizes them and makes them more receptive to what you're going to say to them. So kids, this is where I'm going to enlist your help. If you're part of that visitation program, you're going to the nursing homes, that's a great opportunity for you to be personally involved. And then after you have them sing, and then ask them before you leave, I need to get to every room, and so I'm going to move on down the hallway here, but I wanted to ask you before I left, is there anything I can pray with you about? Now, again, this is very important. I'm not using this as a tool of manipulation. I want to know. I want to pray for them. I care about them, okay? This isn't a salesman's pitch. This ought to be very sincere. All of them have something going on in their lives. All of them have a family member they're concerned about or a health issue that's got them worried or somebody else in the nursing home that they're concerned about. And so ask them, is there anything I can pray with you about? And then listen to their prayer requests. And again, like he said, when they say their name, hear their name, repeat it. When they say their prayer request, listen to it. You're about to pray for their prayer request. You need to be paying attention, okay? And then before you say, I'd reach out and grab their hand and say, before I pray with you, I'd like to ask you one more quick question. Well, I don't want to take for granted that you know Jesus as your Savior. I know there was a time when I wasn't saved. Matter of fact, nobody's born saved. And let me tell you, can I tell you real quickly how I received Christ as my Savior? And share your testimony and tell them how you received Christ. You've got the Bible right there. Pick it back up out of their lap or out of their hand. Go through the verses with them. Ask them, have you ever done this? And if not, can I pray with you now? Would you like to pray and ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior? And folks, I'm going to tell you something. Some of the sweetest salvation conversions I have seen, sincere, sweet conversions, I have seen in nursing homes. This is not just a let's pass Bible out in the nursing home. If you do that, that's great. But boy, you're missing out on so many opportunities if you just take a minute and be bold and be kind and be sincere with them and give them opportunity to receive Christ as their Savior. And so don't be afraid to say that. I want to pray with you over your request you gave me. While I pray, would you like to pray also and ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior? And this is after I've shared the plan of salvation, gone through the scriptures with them. I want all of you to think about this, okay? And I know it may not work out for anybody, everybody, but I will tell you this. Every activities director I talked to, and I mean, I went in face to face and met with them, talked to every one of them, said, "Hey, preacher, you and churches like yours is exactly what we're looking for. Would you have anybody that could come in here once a month and do a nursing home service? We do not have enough people coming in. We would love to have somebody coming from your church." And I want you to keep your heart open to that, folks. I mean, have we really become so busy in our life that we can't be inconvenienced one evening, once a month? I mean, come on. Our life is really that complex, and everything we have to do is so important that we can't go in and take one evening, once a month, and conduct some kind of a service. If you have children, this is a wonderful thing that you can do as a family. And you say, "Well, you know, I'm not a preacher." Well, you know how many years we've had guys preaching in nursing homes that were never called to preach. It's a great opportunity. It could be a great ministry. I think it's something that some of our elderly people that are somewhat limited in other ways, you can do it, and you can have an impact and be a blessing to them. So I want you to think about that as you're doing it and pray about maybe God using you to do this, not just one time, but this might be something God has for you in the future. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the time that we've got to spend together in preparation. And Lord, I think an important part of the preparation for this is certainly prayer. And so, Lord, we want to take a few moments tonight, and we want to give our folks an opportunity. Join together, dear God, during this time of invitation, and prayerfully go to the throne of grace. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. A lot of man hours is going to go into this weekend. And Lord, you said, pray to the Lord of the harvest that you send forth labor. So labor is certainly part of it. But Lord, if we do it in our own strength, in our own flesh, in our own wisdom, then God, I don't think anything meaningful and eternal and divine and everlasting will happen. And so Lord, we want to simply be used as tools. Dear God, give us that holy unction. Give us that real concern and compassion in our heart for people. Lord, give us the boldness that we need to speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you'd use us to impact this community for Christ on our Each One Reach One special Saturday outreach. And then we want to pray also for friends and family Sunday. I know many have been involved. Many folks have co-workers and friends and some family members lined up to come. And Lord, if we haven't, let's help us to do that, Lord, and be busy about it. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name.